And in the fifth chapter, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book, written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. This is a book of judgments, and perhaps the book of the kingdom. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now, in the natural, there is a process of elimination. You just use an illustration. Remember in The Lady of the Lake, there was a chase after a stag. Well, the king's horse was the last horse to fade out. His dog stayed with the chase till the very last, and he was the last man. In other words, everybody else was eliminated. And in meets and in games, there's a process of elimination. This team falls behind, and these teams play out the last. All right, everything is looked over. Is there anybody in heaven? Is there anybody in the earth? Anybody under the earth that's able to open this book or even to look on it? There's nobody worthy. Who is worthy to open the book? Daniel, where are you? Speak up. Abraham? Noah? Elijah? No, not worthy. I wept much, because no man was worthy to open the, and read the book, neither to look thereon, not even to look at it. And the elders were in the know. You won't find John weeping in heaven. This is simply in the vision. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. Notice the word prevailed. He has overcome to open the book. He has the right. Notice the word worthy here. Notice the word worthy in verse 4. Notice it in verse 9. Worthy to take the book. And notice it in verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb. It's all around. Well, I expect I would have wept too. He knew this was an important book. It actually was on the hand, according to the Greek. And somebody, they needed somebody to open that book. And nobody was immediately available. It was, and John wanted the book opened. And in vision, he wept because there was nobody to open it. And it contained so much. It had seven seals. It was written all in there. And he knew, evidently, that it was the book of the kingdom, the book of the judgments, and nobody to open it. How he is described: the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, Brother Copley says this is the Trinity that is manifested here: the one on the throne, the one, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, and the Spirit of God, the seven spirits. Lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lambkin. Not a pretty good sized lamb, but a little lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Now, if you could have looked in John's vision, now I take it that what he saw in vision was a small lamb with its throat cut. This was in vision only. Then out of its head proceeded seven horns, and in its head were seven eyes. You would have said, what a strange vision I see. A little lamb as it had been killed, and it has seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he did so, everything broke loose. You talk about in this world, we'd say pandemonium. In this world, it would be like, well, brother had a football team on television one time, or a football game, and in the grandstands there were 104,000 people. I don't know where the people actually go crazy when somebody wins or where they just put on a show. But you could imagine what that would be like if they'd all tear loose and all yelling and screaming and throwing their hats in the air. Every creature everywhere began to worship the Lamb. The first are those that have reached what we consider the highest level of sainthood. Being a minister, I have taken part in many commencement exercises and graduations, baccalaureates, and I have seen interesting things. I heard one man say he gave the speech at one or the other, graduation or baccalaureate. He said he had marched across the platform five times to receive diplomas. I suppose he had degrees of different levels. I saw one boy that was put on display because he was graduating from high school, 12 years, had never missed a day in his life. That's quite an accomplishment. And my grandson gave he was valedictorian of his class a couple of years ago. People reach the highest level one man every once in a while reaches the highest position politically and becomes president in this country. You may remember the inauguration of Queen Elizabeth, who was just here in this country. Well, here are some saints that will reach the highest level of sainthood. And they have thought about it, and they have considered it, and they have weighed things. And to use the language of Luke, they have counted the cost. And so their song comes first. Incidentally, if you look at the songs of those of Revelation, you can almost tell their level spiritually. Those in the 15th chapter who overcome the beast, they sing the song. They sing the songs of Moses, right along with the song of the Lamb. Those in the 14th chapter, the 144,000, they come up. Now, this is my thought. They come up out of such great, terrible conditions on the earth. Nobody can learn their songs. You know, we sing a song. The man that wrote the song, I can't think of the name of it right now. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. It's in grace and glory. But I can sing that song. But what happened was that his wife went overseas and left him in this country and took two small children. There was a shipwreck. The children both drowned, and she survived. And she notified him. And on his way to England to join her, he wrote that song. And if you look at the song sometimes, you can appreciate it a lot more. My sin, oh, the bliss of the glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. It is well with my soul. Now, I can sing that. But if I had two dead children out yonder in the ocean of a late happening, it'd be kind of hard for me to sing, it is well. It is well. And so those 144,000, they sing a song that nobody else can learn. Now, I can learn these songs, but I don't sing them like those that wrote them. A man said to me in India, and I couldn't speak their language, but he said, we have better songs than you do. He said, ours come out of our experience. There's an enormous amount of suffering over there. He said, we have better songs than the Americans have, and most of ours. The Stamps Quartet Company used to have a staff of songwriters, and they came out with a brand new book every 3 months. And these were just rhymes. Brother Copley said to me one time, there was a woman at his, she was a pretty good singer, but she was struggling through a song. And Brother Copley leaned over to me and said, Brother Franklin, some songs are made and some songs are born. And you can tell the made ones. They're written because somebody knows how to write poetry. And one of the sad things in our country is that there are lots of good singers, and they learn to write rhymes, but they don't know much truth. And you find so many songs come out. Somebody said one time, he got so tired hearing me say that song isn't scriptural. Brother Copley said one time, Brother Franklin, you can't help but be critical if you know the truth. Well, these sing a song about what he has done and what he has made them and what they're going to do. That was their song. And I heard the voice, the angels turn loose. Now, friends, this is going to be a tremendous thing. I wish I could tell it with the, well, I don't know whether I could stand the enthusiasm that's going to be felt there at that time or not. I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. John tried his best, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Notice how the slaying is emphasized. I saw a lamb as it had been slain in the sixth verse. In the ninth verse, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Seven words. Worthy. My, what a voice that will be. Can you imagine the voices of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I used to get amused sometimes. The Spirit of the Lord came on Brother Hill's congregation one time, and they were praising the Lord, and the police came, and they had a talk with him. He wasn't to let them disturb the neighbors. And DU, Denver University, was 2 miles away, and I could stand at his church and hear the football fans screaming. The police never did go and tell them to quiet down. I wish they could be there at this time and hear this. At this time, seemingly, only the overcomers will be in heaven. Now, the angels are included in this number. I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000. This seems to include the angels in the number. This is the nearest the angels ever enter into the redemption song, but it is never said that angels sing in our songbook. I've often thought of that, as angels with the white-robed throng join in the sweet redemption song. But angels are not redeemed. They didn't need to be redeemed. They're no doubt glad for it. But you remember the angel that appeared to Cornelius? He said, "You send for Peter. He'll tell you what to do." Then there's another great thing. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." The four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And this is probably the fulfillment of Philippians 2. Let us turn to that for just a moment. And incidentally, it's a quotation from Isaiah 45, the 10th verse of Philippians 2. That at the name of Jesus, will somebody turn to Isaiah 45, 23 while I'm reading this? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Read Isaiah 45, 23, or confess, as it is said here. Well, this seems to be when that will be fulfilled, when every creature in all of God's creation falls down and worships the Lamb. Time-wise, it will put us right at the beginning of the 7 years, when Christ takes his throne. When Christ becomes king, the Gentiles will be usurpers, and the times of the Gentiles will be over. And he hasn't opened any of the book yet. These two chapters are, in a sense, introductory to what is to come. They begin to put things in right relationship. The saints in heaven, the overcomers with Christ, those that are going to rule fully with him, those that are going to join him in judging the world. Remember the angel said when John fell down to worship it, "See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets." That is, I'm a fellow servant of you other ones. And many of these that are seen in Revelation as angels are saints united with Christ, or perhaps Christ himself, as in the 10th chapter when the mighty angel takes charge of the earth. It doesn't mean that there will necessarily be a submission. Well, to use an illustration, that refers to a later time, but in the Psalms, when it says they would yield in obedience, the footnotes in the Revised Version say a feigned obedience. There will have to be an acknowledgement on their part. It doesn't mean that there is heart worship, but you'll notice that it does say every creature, and it tells where they are, and it is when Christ takes the book, and none of the seals have been opened yet. The seals are the book of judgment, and the book pretty well covers the book of Revelation, that is, the judgments of Revelation. It carries us through, even coming back from time to time. The four beasts said amen. They're in harmony. I imagine there will be such a thrill go through all heaven, every angel. Remember the prayer that's been said most in history, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." That's about to be realized, and those in heaven will know it. He takes the book, is the first real step in this. Not a dog, but I can bark.